Welcome to The Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, YouTube, everywhere. You know the deal. It's The Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And as always, I'm going to flip the camera around. There she is, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Sachs.
Good evening.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm good. I'm in a good mood. It's been a good day.
Oh, has it? Because for the second week in a row, and this is a long story, but I brought some wine. I brought some carnivore wine. And
good year.
There's more to the story.
Oh, there's no corkscrew.
Yes, because I don't drink wine.
That's okay. You have a corkscrew at home for the ladies, and that's important.
Yeah, well, that was forced upon me. I was on a date, and I didn't have a corkscrew, so now I have a corkscrew, and I don't think I've ever used it, except for on that date.
Wow. We got to get some experience in on that corkscrew.
So to speak. So this is what happens when she's in with all comedians. So, Nicole, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
It is. I'm wearing orange eyeshadow. It is the season.
Is that Vampire Cosmetics?
It is Vampire Cosmetics.
Oh, good. And they've been in the news a lot lately.
They have, and they're doing well.
Yeah, they're doing very well.
Yeah.
And we've got quite a month-long show. Matter of fact, next week we're taping with a witch and a vampire.
Yes.
And we've got all sorts of our old and new friends coming up. And then that all leads to the live taping of my birthday, where we're going to throw a Yoo-hoo and absinthe party. And it's going to be quite fun.
If you're mixing the two together, you're going to throw up.
No, that's the new thing. That's the new internet trend.
They say
it's delicious. And I'm going to make sure you have a glass of that.
Oh, God.
Or at least a sip.
I'll try a sip.
Okay.
Make a glass.
Well, you know, as every year I do, I post a thing on Facebook and other social media and say, does anybody have any recommendations of guests that they would like on the show? And this person said, me.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm trying to think. I think I've met you, and I think I've done a show with you, but I think it was a long time ago. But I'm going to turn the camera around to her because I keep putting it on her. But there she is.
Hi.
She is such a multi-talent. She's a Hollywood hyphenate, and we love Hollywood hyphenates.
Yeah.
She's an actress. She's a writer. She's a comedian. She's a podcaster. She's done it all, and she still does things, and she has horror meetups.
Damn.
Yeah, it's weird because you don't – for some reason, the creepy has come out of you because it's not always there. So, but she is.
It's there.
Yeah. She's wonderful. She has a self-help book out. She has all sorts of, she's wonderful. Anastasia Washington.
Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for coming. And
we are being sponsored by Ray's Energy Drink. There it is. Ooh. Ray's Energy Drink. I'm drinking it straight, so to speak. And Nicole is mixing hers with vodka, which it mixes well. This is the new juice box flavor, which is very juicy, very tasty.
Delicious.
Delicious. One of their wonderful, great flavors.
Mind if I try a little flavor, a little taste of that?
Yeah, you can have some wine.
Yeah, I'll try it. I want to see.
Oh, my God. He's going to drink it out of the can.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I don't personally take it in the can, but.
You might get cooties, so we'll see what happens.
It's very good.
Yes.
I have to say, it's very, very tasty.
And the best part about it, zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash.
Very, very good.
And if, you know, they don't have it at 7-Elevens or grocery stores. They have it at GNCs and vitamin shops. And I know you're a big weightlifter, so you go to those places.
Sometimes, yes.
I mean, you're not lately, but I understand. Yeah. So, don't pay full price. Go to the description in the podcast, wherever you're listening to us on podcasts, or on YouTube, and you'll get a link. 15% off a case of Ray's Energy Drink. You can get Juice Box. You can get the new Ginger Ale. You can get all sorts of great flavors. Baja Lime that tastes like Baja Blast from Taco Bell.
Juice Box is great.
Yes.
I'll be drinking that on my birthday. That will be a birthday treat. You've never had Yoo-hoo and Absinthe?
Together, no.
All right, but you have them separately.
I definitely have had them separately. I would think, like, if I was going to pair absinthe, I would pair it with like Ecto Cooler instead of Yoo-hoo.
You would think Ecto Cooler is hard to find though.
It is, and it's very old if you find it.
Right. Because they have Yoo-hoo at Dollar Tree. You can find that.
That's
pretty, pretty easy. And I was telling somebody about this, and they were like, yeah, you know, Yoo-hoo, you know, it does the milk. And I'm like, there's no milk in Yoo-hoo.
No, there is not. It is chocolate drink.
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate non-dairy drink.
Right.
I think that's how they describe it on right. the bottle or can.
But you're very, you know, the Halloween is our time.
It is. I'm so happy.
Yeah. So let me start with this general question. Now, what made you respond to this and say, I'm the perfect guest to be on the Dark Mark show for Halloween month?
Well, I mean, I am a huge horror fan. I was born and raised a horror fan by my mother. Mm-hmm.
And you are a scream queen. I didn't mention that.
Oh, yeah. I've been in a few Halloween franchises. I'm not sure if you could call... I was told that Addams Family is not a horror film, but...
No. This is what I want to get to. Because yeah.
I was like, I think it kind of is a
that's
horror
franchise. Such a horror movie. No. You got so much cred with our audience because you were in Addams Family.
Yes. Yeah. So I was in both the Addams Family movies, and I consider them horror films, but somebody will correct me inevitably, just like...
No, other stuff.
Like,
trust me, they get the Goss seal of approval. The Goss seal of approval.
I get a lot of debates on some of my like credits. Like, I was in the Die Hard movie, and I had a huge fight with somebody about whether it's a Christmas movie, and I was like, okay.
But weren't you in Die Hard 2, though?
I was in Die Hard 2.
So that's not a Christmas movie, is it?
I literally am in the movie singing a Christmas song, I would say, yeah.
Which Christmas song?
Carol of the Bells, I think.
Is that before or after you puked on Bruce Willis?
That was the filming of that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So tell, we've all been tempted to puke on Bruce Willis one time or another. How did this come about?
Well, I was on the set of Die Hard 2, and I got sick on set. Mm-hmm. Later realized I had chicken pox. But,
oh, shit.
So you probably gave Bruce Willis chicken pox.
Well, nobody else got it, it seems like. People kept coming. Like, you know, it was the age of, like, people bringing their kids over when you had chicken pox to, like, give them chicken pox. I was really sick, and people kept coming over, and I was like, why is this happening? Leave me alone.
Right.
But I guess a couple days before I really got it, I was... We were filming at LAX, like actually mm-hmm. LAX.
Right.
and I was really sick, and he and my mom came up to me and they're like, listen, if you can't really pull through, no pressure, but if you can't,
no pressure. There's only a $50 million movie riding on you.
If you can't, we have to scrap this whole scene.
Right.
And I just threw up everywhere. I threw up on my mom. I threw up on him. I threw up on some production assistants. And then I was like, yeah, let's go film it.
did he have his usual trademark smirk when you puked on him?
You know, he was very sweet. I think he was very concerned. I was very young. And I think anything negative I've ever heard about him, I'm always like... that is not my experience.
Okay.
He's such a sweetie. But I was also a kid, I will say that.
So you have to be under 10 for Bruce Willis to behave.
Maybe. Or, you know, but I also didn't know who he was at all.
Right.
And so I was just like, why is this man in my face when I'm sick? But, awkward celebrity encounters are my thing, I guess.
Well, I also read that... you had an aversion to wearing tights on the Addams Family, but Raul Julia, who apparently was very good with kids.
So sweet. He was the nicest man.
Tell Nicole this story. This is interesting.
So the thing that people forget about kid actors is that we're still kids. we're still kids. And I, in the first movie, was put in this ridiculous flower costume where I had to wear like basically tights and like a flower head dress and whatever. And I hate tights. To this day, I hate tights. But I threw a slight tantrum. This is probably the only tantrum I've ever thrown on set. And Raul Julia had lunch with me and talked to me about what it's like to be an actor and how we're going to be put in certain circumstances. And he was just such a sweet man, he got me to wear those tights.
Wow.
And I don't think I look that thrilled in the movie still, I will say, but it kind of works because we're all in a weird talent show, so I feel like it's okay.
See, I gotta rewatch the Addams Family and the Addams Family Values. So.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was so fun. I just remember, like, in the first film being on, because, you know, you have to go to school on set, and so we were in school. And we and Christina Ricci came in, and they couldn't take that prosthetic off, so it was just like squirting blood while we were like taking or teaching like hours.
Oh, that's great.
And yeah, they were just like, stop looking at her. cannot. I am mesmerized, and why don't I have
Yeah, there's somebody gushing blood while you're doing your math.
And I'm like, I don't want to do any of this. I just want to watch her squirt blood, and if you could put me in one, that'd be great.
Right.
Was there anything you absolutely would not do as an actor?
Oh, I mean, porn.
Sure about that?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, all right.
I used to work at Hustler, and I got plenty of offers.
Oh, we'll get to that. But was Christina Ricci cool? I mean, you guys were kids then, and
yeah, she was always so sweet. I never have anything bad to say about her.
That's a very diplomatic answer.
No, it's true. Like I could talk about some of the people I ran into, but really sweet.
Well, do tell.
I mean,
come on, let's get some dirt. Come on, we want this to go on TMZ.
This is not horror.
We'll get to horror. Don't worry about it.
But
we want this to go viral. So
one of the jerkiest guys to me, I think, was like Frankie Muniz.
Oh, Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, he used to call me fat all the time. And at this time, like I was like, I'm a curvy girl now, but at the time I was maybe a size 2, maybe. What? I was so
And how old were you at this time?
I was like 16, 17. I was like a bobblehead. I was just like one curly fro with like boobs and a butt and then just a stick everywhere else. Like I was like
right.
The thinnest thing, but he loved to call me fat.
Why?
I don't know. He got beat up
because he liked you.
Maybe my boyfriend at the time was just always like, you know, I'm gonna punch you in the face now. He's like, yeah. Fat.
It's like, you know, when you're a teenager, and I'm assuming he was about the same age.
Yeah.
So when you're that age, like when you like a girl and you're awkward and you don't know how to handle it, you're like, eh, you start giving insults. It's like a roast battle. It's a roast battle. This is why most guys are really bad at dating, because they just, that's all they know how to do.
Roast battles, but.
Yes. I don't know. It depends on the guy. Trust me. I've seen some shitty roast battles.
I am definitely shitty at roast battles in general.
No, here's the weird thing, because I love roasts. Mm. I love roasting people, and I'm really good at it. The roast battle, no, I'm not going to do it today.
I'm very squishy.
And by the way, Frankie Muniz is coming in the room, so I'm going to roast him. But the roast battle format, it's like, it's too limiting to me. And to me, when I see really good roasters, when I look at, the Comedy Central roast, when you see Gilbert Gottfried just go off on these weird tangents, when you see Greg Giraldo just annihilate people. Even if you go back to Don Rickles and Pat Cooper and the legends, like they built and built and built and built and built and built to the end where they just demolish somebody. And the roast battle is just like, okay, I do one joke, you do one joke, I do one joke, and it's like it's silly. But I always do well. But every time I've done a roast battle, I've lost every roast battle. But there's two reasons. I'm wearing ghostly goth makeup, so I'm basically writing the jokes for the other person.
That's true.
And the second is I'm always on the funniest roast battle of the night every time I've done a roast battle.
So if
I lose, it's like, okay, well, I lost, but I still was funnier than any other roast battle. So that's fine. If I got the funniest roast battle, I don't give a shit if I win or lose.
I mean, that's fair. I've only been on a few, and I'm always surprised. I've gone to the second round, and I'm always like, why? Because I am not good at this, and it makes me feel bad. Well,
you don't seem like a mean person like myself, but
I try not to be. And I mean, I can, if you mess with somebody I love, probably be very sharp tongue. But just in general, like I'm not
right.
That I don't know.
And
the only bullying I ever did was there was this kid.
The only bullying Nicole ever
I've
did.
Done some bullying.
This kid used to call me like names and stuff, mostly slut for some reason. We were very young, so it never made sense to me that he would call me slut. Like none of us even knew it, like how to kiss barely. But his last name was Bobby, and I'm like, okay, Ben Booby.
See,
I'm like, how do you go around your whole life teasing people with such an obvious name that can be turned into such a? I mean, it was so easy. It was just like low hanging fruit. That's the only kid I've ever.
Well, you realize you would have gotten the second round of a roast battle with that one.
Ben Booby.
Ben Booby.
There was a kid in high school that used to call me a wigger, which I hate. First of all,
well, because you're because dreads? You're because like, well, because no because black. You're African American.
Yeah, I'm half black, and
honestly, that is kind of funny.
It's so, but here's the thing: I'm like, if you're gonna come at me, either come at me like Krigger, so I know you're really bad. You're really coming at me. You're coming at me with bad words or whack. You know, like I'm white and black. You know, but he would always call me a wigger. It drove me crazy. And his last name is Sweeney, so he just became Sweeney, microscopic weenie, and I had this huge song about it, and everyone was like, you're so mean, and I was like, do you realize calling me a wigger is not nice? It's one step away from the N-word.
Right. Yeah. No, I get it, yeah.
So, and he was just like, everyone was like, it's just so mean, you're attacking his manhood. And I'm like, okay.
The only reason I thought it was funny is just, like I said, you're African-American, just right. The irony of that.
Right. Not that he was calling you a wigger. Terminology used for people usually that don't have black in them. Right.
Exactly.
And I love to have black in me.
Right. Oh, I'll make a note of that. But and he should not have picked on somebody who was in musical theater since they were a kid.
Correct.
And that's a great story. You and your parents.
I wish I made up a Ben Booby song.
You can make it up now. Go ahead.
Okay.
Let's collaborate. Ben Booby, Ben Booby, Ben Booby. You really don't move me. Yes. Your weenie small. Anyway, so I don't know.
I loved that part.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think who had a smaller weenie, the Ben Booby or the Wigger guy. I'm trying to figure it out.
Sweeney, microscopic.
It's microscopic. Yeah.
I think they both have microscopic weenies. And,
yeah, probably.
But they'll both be probably masturbating to the show with their microscopic weenies.
I don't know what happened to Ben. Never saw him again.
Right. Oh, he's listening to you right now.
Yeah, he's
yeah, that was like seventh grade. And like I said, we were barely kissing anybody at that point. Yeah. It was so weird to me.
You know what the irony is?
Funny how they do that?
Yeah.
Men do, like, boys do that to us, like, very early. It's usually us developed girls or that, like, go through, like, a goth phase or something like that. All at once we're sluts.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm like, I haven't even touched a wiener.
Which is so weird because the goth girls actually have something else going on and other interests besides fashion and trying to attract men.
Yeah.
They're actually into witchcraft and other things and goth music and all sorts of things. So, and usually a lot more literate, a lot smarter, a lot more interesting.
All the time. I love books. Yeah.
But
like, leave me alone. I'm reading Edgar Allan Poe for the 100th time.
As you should.
Fuck off.
But
I need to ask if I could curse. Oops.
Yeah. No, we encourage profanity.
Okay,
we started. You know, you already went with the microscopic weenie, so it's.
Oh yeah, that is. Is that a curse word, weenie?
It's something that might need to be censored. I'm not sure.
Not on this show.
Not on this show.
I was like, I don't know.
Oh, and yeah, we had a lot of weird. Yeah, we've already.
They say Oscar Mayer wiener on.
Yeah, but that's Oscar Mayer wiener. They can't say, "Oh, your wiener is small." Or can they can now? I mean, they can say pretty much anything except for the shit, fuck, and a few things, but
yeah.
I think they can now on network TV, like after 10 or something, but I think the F word, you still can't.
I think the F word still
like. But no way, Ross is network TV. It's only old farts, but everybody's streaming. So
I guess I don't watch anything on network TV.
Yeah
nobody does. Or even cable TV anymore, really. It's everything on streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, streaming services pride themselves in having foul language. Like, right. They want their stuff to be more dramatic.
Exactly. So, like, even, like, I think Breaking Bad was, like, the last, or Better Call Saul was, like, the last cable show that people were like, oh, I can't wait to see this. And, you know, people watch Law and Order and stuff, but, you know, it's just habit at this point.
I mean, we just watch it for Christopher Maloney.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't? But, yeah, but but that's the thing. Now, you started really early, and this is a great story because you were with your parents, you were 3 years old.
No, yeah.
tell Nicole the story.
Give me,
this is great.
Give me canceled. No, I'm just kidding. We were at a theme park that we'll call, I'll just say it, SeaWorld. Everyone's going to get mad. But anyway, we were at SeaWorld.
Fuck SeaWorld.
It's before we knew.
No, I have a problem with SeaWorld.
I'm sure everyone has a problem with SeaWorld.
No. It has nothing to do with humanitarian. Okay. I mean, I have a problem with that. But when I was 17, I went with my friends, my best friends, the Ryan brothers, and we all applied for a job. They had a big job fair, and they fed everybody. It was a whole thing, right? Thousands of people there. They got hired. I did not. I ended up waiting tables at Denny's, and I was waiting on this girl who worked for SeaWorld. She's like, you've got such a great work ethic. You should come work for SeaWorld. I'm like, funny you should mention that. So But so you're at SeaWorld.
I'm at SeaWorld watching the Shamu show. I'm not watching it because I'm a three-year-old that is ridiculous, and I start singing and tap dancing instead of watching the show.
Okay.
And then the whale, like, just does one of those, like, huge jumps.
Right.
And everyone applauds, and I just assumed the applause was for my show. And for the whale, and I took a bow. And my mom was like, we need to get her an agent. And basically, like, the next week, I basically got a manager, and I started working pretty much after that.
See, and that's the thing now. You're a former child star.
Sure. But I'll take star.
You were in Die Hard, you were in Adam's Family, Malcolm in the Middle. I mean, it's funny. This is what I want to get at, because when I go on your IMDb, you have none of that listed.
I know, because I changed my name.
Okay, so if I go Stacy Washington, then
yeah, I would have
found the motherlode.
When I was a kid, they changed my name like 3 or 4 times, because it was the age of like trying to, like, they really tried. I mean, they package you now, but they tried to package you back then. And I'm half black, and they didn't know what to do with that. And they changed my name like so many times. And it doesn't matter because all of the checks cash and all the names.
So, well, that's the main thing.
That's the main thing. But yeah, I get weird, like SAG. I like, you know, SAG has an app where we get our residuals, and it's just like, it'll just be like this name and this name. And people be like, why is that? I was like, well, that was me too.
Now, are you trying to erase your child's past, or?
No, I just don't think that there's any need to like, it's my past. I'm freely able to talk about it, but also it's like, I don't have to if I don't want to.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, you've accomplished so much as an adult, and we're going to get to that. I know we've talked about it for 20 minutes, but how were you able to become a healthy adult? Well, you're a comedian, so there's a limit. But
I think I had a really good mother. She's weird like me, very like horror centric woman.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Really, like, you know, she is like the most interesting woman probably you have ever met. But she also really has always been there for me. And right. If I ever wanted to quit, it was never pushed on me.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to quit, she was like, you don't have to do this. I mean, I remember like coming out of auditions or just like having a really bad, like I was in this TV show and then the TV show went on, but I was in the pilot and they cut my part. And trying to explain that to a kid is real hard. And I like took it really hard. And my mom was like, well, you know, you don't have to do this anymore. You don't have to go to another audition. And I was like, no, just let me cry. Mm-hmm. And I'm still like this. I'm like, just let me have the moment to cry. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go on and just do more stuff. But I just needed that moment to cry. And I think she really understood that about me. She still understands that about me. Mm-hmm. You know, with stand up, we have that all the time, like where we're like, God, do I need to do this? Do I want to do this anymore? It's so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you cry a little bit and then you go on stage.
Wow. What are the best and worst parts of being an actor?
I love collaborating. I love, and I think coming from like a childhood of like movies and TV, like I loved being on set with different people all the time. So I love getting to know people. I love just like being in a new environment.
Except for Frankie Muniz.
I love being in different environments. I love meeting new people. I love trying new things. I'm very much like that. So that to me is like the best because it really like lights me up.
Okay.
The worst part, I guess, it's just the rejection. And I think everybody takes it their own way. But we always get so rejected, but it's not a rejection of you. It feels like a rejection of you sometimes. And especially for people that are multi-hyphenate or, you know, writers or everything, you put yourself out there so many times. And that's great, but then that means that some of the times it's going to be a no, and it's so hard.
Right.
But then I have to remind myself, I'm like, that I get so many no's, and I get so many yeses, and the reason I get so many no's is because I've put myself out there so many times. And God, does it hurt, but at least, like, I tried, you know?
Sure.
But it's hard. I don't know, like, my niece is starting to act, too, and she's doing pretty good, and yeah, just, like, explaining that to, like, a young girl, it's hard.
But she must have worshipped you when she was a kid.
Oh, you know, I had a good worship period. Now she's 13. I'm not that cool. Every once in a while she says something to me, and like she'll be like, give me a compliment, and I'm like, oh my God, it's the biggest deal now.
Right.
Actually, that scene that I was in the Addams Family, last year she had like, she's a dancer and all the dancers had to do clips of like movies that they wanted to do and like do these concepts with dances. And I went and watched one of her shows and I'm watching and one of the groups chose that scene.
Okay.
Aww.
And my sister just like turned around and my niece turned around and they're like, oh my God, there you are. And right. I was like, yeah, but.
So was your niece playing your part?
No, they literally took clips from movies and then they like, so like I was up there, they put me up there and it wasn't her group. Mm. It was a completely other dance group.
Ah.
That she was competing against. She did The Purge. They did Addams Family.
What kind of school is this?
Well, you know,
they're 12 doing The Purge?
Yeah, well, it was a Halloween, like, a choreography challenge.
I get that, but...
Yeah. You well, know, I mean, you
there's
can
family-friendly... As family is appropriate, you could do... I mean, there's the PG-13. There's PG-13.
What's wrong with
you? You want 12-year-olds doing The Purge?
I mean, I watched The Shining at 3, so I can't really say right. anything. But the Purge, you think is
did
where...
somebody do Saw? I mean, what happened?
I mean,
probably, right?
Nobody did the Saw movie.
Hostel? I mean, any of these?
No, I think the worst, and they didn't even see The Purge. They like used like The Purge, you know, announcement. Like, yeah, they did that, and then they were all in like neon masks. You know, I don't think any of them had actually seen The Purge.
Right.
I'll remedy that.
Yeah, they'll be purging this Halloween. They'll be knocking on everybody's door and
it's an education,
them.
Okay?
Right. Well, I mean, we're a couple years away from the purge in real life anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But the one thing
scary.
That's the real scare. I don't even want to get into that. Mm-hmm. But your racial ambiguity must be an advantage.
It can be. I've also gotten into really bad situations with it. So I tend to like say it right up front. Uh-huh.
Like the time that you went to a neo-Nazi's birthday party?
Yeah, that was really not a good situation. They found out because my dad had dropped me off that night and nobody had seen my dad. My dad was like always like super like busy. He was getting like his degree and he was working and stuff right. like that. And for some reason, I don't know why, he dropped me off at this party and they just kept going, is that your biological kid? And he's like, yeah. And then he like left to come back later. And I was just like, it was crazy.
Now, when you say neo-Nazi, now it's funny because I know this isn't your one woman show, but did you know this was a neo-Nazi, or was the family neo-Nazi? Was the kid neo-Nazi? I mean,
I
or is it just it was
age,
just or just
at that
a,
age? I absolutely didn't. Right.
Or is this just a prejudiced family?
No, they were flag wearing, like in their house, not at school.
Mm.
I like was sitting under Nazi flags. There was pictures of Hitler. I don't Jesus. Know any of that stuff when I was a kid, but now I recognize what it was because it's like so vivid to me, that whole like situation. And then the next day at school, they really like solidified it by like her and her sister tried to beat me up and called me the N-word actually not for the first time, because my dad called me the N-word all the time, but like in the first Oof. Negative way.
Wait a second. Now go back. No,
in your family, in a black family, you're called the N-word like all the time. Mm. Like it's a term of endearment.
Okay.
So when somebody said it to me negatively, I was so confused.
Right.
Like I had to have a conversation with my dad and he's like, don't let people call you. And I was like, I'm sorry. What are you doing?
That must make father-daughter dances awkward.
Yeah. Well, you know, no.
Okay.
Great.
All right.
But yeah, no, it's something, I guess, like, I don't know another culture that maybe does that, but the black culture, definitely, we call each other.
Not everybody.
Not everybody, but most of the black family members I know use it.
Okay, all right. That's,
yeah, and I don't personally use it.
How did your father find out about this house? Like, why would he drop you off there?
Oh, because they thought you were white.
They thought I was white.
And they were friends with you.
Yeah, they were friends at school.
Oh, okay.
So, and also, I kind of found out, too, because I wasn't the only mixed kid in class.
Right. When I say they thought you are part white, but I'm saying they thought you were completely white.
But there was two other mixed kids in the class, but they were they're darker skin and more obviously mixed, and they weren't invited. But all the white kids were. None of us knew that until, like, you know, like my dad came back. I told him what happened. Him and my mom had some major words with the family.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was big.
But tell the bottom line is you didn't get cake.
I didn't get cake. Yeah, they did not serve me cake. And I see. It was horrible.
Was the cake white?
Angel food?
No, because I didn't get any. I think it was just like a Costco pizza, Costco cake, which also I really love Costco cake. So,
right. It wasn't a white cake. It was a white trash cake.
It was a white trash cake. But the kind of white trash cake that I adore.
Yeah, you would have eaten it if you were served it.
Yeah, I would have.
On a Nazi gladly. Plate.
Well.
Did the girls continue to, like, attack you at school?
So they got in real big trouble for beating me up. Okay. And they eventually moved to Bakersfield.
Huh.
Well, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Where are their people?
Good for them. And they're probably listening to the show now, along with the
Sterling. I'm just kidding. That's not her name. It is.
Sterling.
It's totally her name. Yeah. Sterling.
Sterling. Oh, my goodness. But,
Sterling and Ava. You're out there.
Yeah, Sterling and Ava, fuck you. And we want some cake.
Yeah, send me a cake.
Yeah, that's the least I could do.
I almost brought donuts to the show. Damn. I should have brought donuts. I know. They were pumpkin spice donuts.
And unfortunately, we don't have a corkscrew, so it wouldn't work anyway. But, now you were talking. Who's that guy? You were talking about the little kid that you were talking about.
Ben Bobby,
and you were talking about
Sweeney, microscopic Weenie.
Okay, so these guys probably have problems getting women, and if they do, what they should do is get our sponsor, Tactical Soap.
Ooh.
Tactical Soap is pheromone infused soap. I'm not kidding. Pheromone infused soap. They have three different types: Bond, Maverick, and Durden. And they have three different scents of that. No goose. Bond, Durden, and Maverick. So they have three different scents of each. They have deodorant. They have all sorts of things. It's, you know, first off, washing with soap and water is always a good step to getting women. But if you use Tactical Soap, even better, has pheromones, smells great. Use the code in the podcast description on Renegade Radio, Podcast Catcher, YouTube, whatever you're listening to us. Link towards that. Get some Tactical Soap. And then the women will go crazy over you. I got some on order, and so that's why you haven't jumped over the table and attacked me, but get Tactical Soap. Anyway, so
they should have that at every comic convention. I just want to encourage people.
Great.
That's what I was thinking. This is
great segue. Smelly. Yeah, great. Yeah, great segue, because you are regular panelists at comic book conventions and horror conventions. How do you get into that? Because I've been trying.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we should talk after. Years and years and years ago, when, like, the first, like the nerdy boom of podcasts started happening.
Just the nerdy boom in pop culture, period.
And basically, like, the fact that, like, people were starting to listen to, like, nerd podcasts. Me and my friends were like, well, we're funny and we're assholes. We should put ourselves on tape saying all this asshole-ish bullshit that we say about comics. And we started a podcast called Awkward Conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at first a live radio show, which was really, really solidified the awkward.
Was that LA Talk Radio? Or was that something?
No, we were at Skid Row Studios.
Wait. We were at Skid Row Studios.
We were at Skid Row Studios.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It was a whole Thursday night block. They had Nestor Rodriguez, then us, then David Berger.
We were before, I think they were Nerd Rage at the time. They're the greatest podcast ever.
Now. I can't believe this. You were on.
Yeah.
That is so weird.
It's crazy.
That was the best.
It was great.
Jeremy, shout out. That was the best.
And so the first few conventions we did, I just submitted us. Mm-hmm. There were smaller conventions. One was called BentCon, which was like a highly sexual comic con. BentCon. And it was very LGBTQ.
Mm-hmm.
And like they would have like new drawings of comic book characters and they would have like live people. It was just like a big party.
Well, pause that. Live drawing, new drawings of comic book characters. What comic book characters did you see and how were their dicks?
Oh, well, there's a picture of me sitting on like to call him Meth Thor because he looked like he had done meth and he had a hammer. So I think that was one of the ones that I was like, and now I look back at that picture and I'm like, oh no, why did I? Because when you're at BenCon, you're drinking and everyone looks so hot, like hot, and then later on you're like, oh, I took a picture with that, and now I don't. Right. But yeah, it was fun. Like everybody's like costumes were like free, whatever. I guess it would be kind of like a Dragon Con.
Sure.
But a little bit more risque.
Right. Wow, this is blowing my mind that you're on Skid Row Studios. It's taking me back to the days.
It's crazy.
Because
we had a booth. Skid Row Studios had a booth and we broadcast all day from BenCon.
Man, they never called us, but it was funny because I remember, like, Nestor, and you remember this, Nicole, mm-hmm. Nestor and all the iBurger guys would get in the booth because they knew I would do weird shit. Like, I would have set people on fire. We would have we have grinders. We had somebody electrocute people. We had clowns.
You didn't have anybody fist on your show, right?
No, that was Ginger. Ginger Lynn had
that. Okay, because we were directly after that fisting.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
And I heard about the fisting. I heard about it.
I was just like... Did you guys clean?
No, we never did a penetration. Ginger Lynn, the adult film star, had a show.
Yeah.
And I was actually on that show, and Nina Hartley gave me a hand job, but they would do stuff like that.
Yeah.
We would go up to the line, but we would never cross it.
Well, I think they didn't know what to quite do with us, because we had potty mouths, and we had, like, very big imaginations, but we weren't like that. But we stayed there for quite a while, and then... And then we eventually went out on our own, and then we went on a couple of other, like, nerd websites. And I just always ask, like, I always ask conventions, like, I'll email them and be like, I have a podcast or I have some panel ideas. Do you have a panel submission mm-hmm. format? And then they'll send it to me, and I submit. The worst thing that they can say is no. It's always right. free to do panels, which is great because, like, mm-hmm. it's such great publicity. I think
yeah.
people pay a lot to get their podcasts out there and to get word out there. And, like, one of the best things you can do is probably go to a convention that's very much centric to your mm-hmm. likes and your genre and talk there. But, yeah.
There we go. The wheels are turning, just, Nicole.
Oh, yes.
Because you're a con regular.
I am, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I would say... If you have a concept, even if you don't have a podcast, even if you have a concept, you have a film, you have a web series, like, that is such great publicity, and it's mm-hmm. free publicity,
right.
and it's usually a form, and just, like, you know, pitch more than one thing, usually. Right.
Well, that might be my downfall.
Well, you know, sometimes they
It's like, it's me, take it or leave it. This is what I want to do.
Well, always be, like, it's me, take it or leave it, but here's a couple concepts that will fit into your programming.
Mm-hmm.
They could be also very similar to each other.
Right.
Like, for some reason, one hits, I would just keep throwing things at the wall. I mean, right. that's just what we do as artists anyway.
But yeah, my thing's usually never what everybody else is doing, which is good and bad, because a lot of people are like, no, I want you to do what this person's doing. It's like, no, I'm doing my own thing. But tell any awkward con experiences, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, we used to have a really big... BDSM brony population.
Where's what con is, like, this?
We used to go to, I think it was Phoenix Comic Con, and we had a huge like fan base that was bronies, but like hardcore BDSM bronies.
Yeah, because I've been trying to get bronies on the show forever.
I can see if I, they used to, like, oh, it was so funny because, like, I was like the only
bronies are kind of out now. Like they kind of I thought they were gonna stay forever. But they've kind of faded away.
They would, but they didn't. I don't know if they're even still bronies anymore, but we would go to that con, and it would be so funny because, like, the guys would get, like, the most respectful, like, they'd be like, can I take a picture with you? Can I get a signature? And then I would get, like, hey, we're starting something upstairs, and we'd really like to just, like, human centipede with you. And I'd be like, thank you so much for coming to our panel.
Did they get that? What episode of My Little Pony did they get that from?
I don't know. I mean, it would just be like, you know, there's going to be like four of us guys. And I'm like, no. I'm so sorry, but thank you for the offer.
Right. Because, yeah, I was trying to explain.
Do you want to offer them any of that?
I remember one time I tried to explain bronies to my father, and it was a hard concept for someone.
And
like
Pegasisters, we can't forget the.
Well, I know. We know Pegasisters. Yeah. Actually, one of our friends is a Pegasister. Danny Danger will be on later this month.
Oh, and nice.
She's from Phoenix, so you probably come across her.
Yeah, I mean, Phoenix Comic Con started out so small, and then it just blew up. It's a pretty big con now.
The nerds took over Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good size con now.
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, I think every con is. Now, that's the thing, because the nerds took over the world.
Yep, they did.
And if they're so smart, what took them so long?
We had to grow up.
Yeah, and stopping stuff.
You're not a nerd, Nicole. You never were.
I've read every Buffy book. I've read almost every Star Wars book. I've read all the Harry Potter books. I read.
That's mainstream.
It wasn't when now. I was.
Okay.
I used to be made fun of for Buffy.
I would get so much trouble for being in my room reading books, isolating when I should be hanging out with the people watching The Real World, which I never wanted to watch because everybody was into reality TV when I was growing up for some reason.
Yeah.
Was that your experience too?
Oh yeah, we used to have there was a group of us nerds that would meet up.
I played Yu-Gi-Oh the fucking card game.
Okay, well now you're getting somewhere. Now you're getting somewhere. I'll give you that.
No, but liking Buffy, liking X-Files as much as I did.
It was not cool.
It was not cool. I was creepy. I was slutty. I don't know why it made me slutty, but I was slutty.
Hmm.
Yeah.
The truth is out there. I don't know.
I mean, it's not, the truth is not that I'm promiscuous.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't.
Right. But are you comfortable in your sexuality?
I'm very comfortable in my sexuality. I mean, people, I think I also, explored, Wicca. I took witchcraft classes in my teens.
Okay.
And stuff like that. And people just thought I was weird. And I probably was. But I was also going through a lot. And I just, that's the way I functioned.
Right.
But, yeah, no, I'm comfortable in my sexuality. People could throw anything at me. And I'm I know who I am.
Right.
And I know.
But you're not comfortable being in a room with four bronies. And who is, really?
I mean, I'm not comfortable being in the room with four bronies. I'm just not.
That would want a human centipede you, yes.
I mean, honestly, unfortunately, I'm very demisexual. I just am.
Okay.
I'm very openly freaky with one person. That is,
right.
That is my thing.
Has that always been your thing?
It's okay, I'm not into group sex either.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I would probably...
I'm not trying to propose anything, I'm just curious.
No, it has always been the case. I think sometimes I felt bad about it. I felt like a lot of people, did the opposite. You I have so many girlfriends that were just fuck guys. And I'm no, it's, really not, my thing. I really have to connect with them. And once I connect with them, that's... it's crazy. I will do so much. And, even I would do, maybe a threesome or something, but only with somebody that, only with my partner.
Right.
And with somebody that we picked together. I'm not.
No, but you have to have a say in it, because you can't have the guy pick, because he's always going to pick wrong.
No, I know. I had one of my exes was a twin, and he always thought that was.
Oh, no.
And I was always I think you think this is going to be a great idea, and it's going to be such a horrible, horrible idea for you. Also, I can always tell the difference between the two of them, and they used to, try.
Oh, my God.
To confuse me, and I'm I know which one I sleep with.
Oh, that's hilarious.
You know what I mean? I know every curve, honey. I'm very thorough sexually, so
okay.
I know.
All right.
I think I'm open sexually. I think I'm open. I explore. But I just really am very much, about connection and trust and...
Right.
And that's okay to know about yourself?
Absolutely.
Well, the reason I ask is because being comfortable with your sexuality, and obviously at an early age, I think that's what threw men off.
Maybe, yeah.
And that's why we're calling you a slut, even though you were not.
Yeah, I was like, you wish, because I would have sex with you then, and
right.
I'm not.
Right.
You know, I waited until I was in love to have sex.
Right, we were just talking about that before the show. I sometimes have dated more than one person at once. Yeah. Never works out. And it's weird because I know people, and just people are wired different ways. Some people like to fuck around, and people like to have relationships, or really like to focus
valid.
On one person. Yeah,
all is no, valid as long as you're communicating with the people that are involved.
Some people are gay, some people are straight, some people are bi, some people are non-binary. Whatever.
Sleep with one person at a time. I just prefer.
Are you demisexual?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I'm a physical person. If I'm physically attracted to you, that's what makes me want to have sex with you, which is why I have sex with. I don't have sex often. I mean, when I'm in it, when I find someone that I'm physically attracted to, we have sex a lot. But there'll be seasons where I'm waiting to meet somebody I'm physically attracted to. So
yeah, that's how I am too. It's like it's funny because like I think people that have had all these different sexual partners think that they've had more sex than me. I'm like, no, because you're like one and done. Like I am a crazy sex fiend with the person I love.
I'll have sex as long as they want to. Like,
yeah.
Usually I don't, and I do friends with benefits quite often. And usually they're the ones that stop it. I'll keep having sex regularly. I don't mind. I like having sex a lot, but I have to have a physical, like you have to have that spark, that thing about you that makes me want to like have sex with you.
Yeah.
The hot emo boy thing.
I mean, I
so you're not hot emo boys too? Real skinny twinkie guys?
No. I mean, I think it goes, so my sexual like preferences go kind of more towards my comedy preferences more than my goth preferences.
How so?
Like when I was a kid, I thought like the ultimate man was Eddie Murphy.
Okay.
And I look for Eddie Murphy and Candyman and every man that I'm
going okay. for. All right. Well, too bad Jamie's not here. She could tell you stories. We have a friend that was one of his trans escorts, but yeah. So that's a whole thing. I'll send you the show. It'll be something.
I would love that.
Yeah. So it's a lot. There's a lot to it, but yeah. But I mean, he's a good looking guy.
Yeah.
Apparently, nine inch penis too.
Thank you for saying that, because every time I say I'm attracted to Eddie Murphy, people are like, weird. And I'm like, that's not weird. The weird one that I'm attracted to.
I mean, he's like 60 now, so I could see somebody that's a teenager saying, or in their 20s saying, oh, he's an old man. But when he was younger, he's like the first comedy sex symbol, really.
Yeah, people gave me shit. Like, people will be like, young Eddie Murphy, too? And I'm like, yeah.
Especially young Eddie Murphy.
People give me shit. Now, I know there are certain people that I'm attracted to that 100% it's a weird one, and I will...
Now who are you thinking about now? I see it. Come on, tell me.
So I have like a really weird attraction to Steve Buscemi. Like really,
everybody really... does. Everybody.
No, they don't.
No, so many girls are like, oh, Steve Buscemi's hot.
He's so freaking hot.
No, I know so many girls that are like, oh, Steve Buscemi's hot. But
attractive. He's not my type, but he is attractive.
But here's the thing: if a guy came up to you that looked exactly like Steve Buscemi, but was not Steve Buscemi, and he was just a some dude on the street.
No, that's what Steve's got. He's got that like.
No, but if Steve Buscemi's twin, who was an accountant, came up to you, you'd be like, ew.
I don't know if it's the celebrity. I think it's just like
it's the way he carries himself.
It's the personality. It's the acting. It's all that. But
and he's like a really good dude.
No, he is. He
he's
is
like a really fucking good dude.
He's a great actor. He's very but
yeah, the way he carries himself is like really unique. I think he does definitely have some sort of quality that's just unique to him.
There's a lot of girls that are like Steve Buscemi's hot, but if a guy that looks like Steve Buscemi came up to them, they're like, ew.
Well, it's kind of like Jeff Goldblum just has this thing.
Jeff Goldblum's the sexiest man alive. Every woman's like, I love Jeff Goldblum. You're the only one that I've you and my mother are the only two that are like,
I went to Playhouse West, I'm good.
Okay, so you met him in person?
Yeah, that's his
acting class. So because you've met him, the shine is off.
I mean, yeah, I don't get it.
Do you have any good Jeff Goldblum stories? I want to hear this.
I don't know why people find him attractive, even when I met him.
He's very charming. When I met him, he also sang the French Canadian national anthem to my friend because she was visiting from Canada. It was very charming.
I mean, there's just nothing attractive about him to me. I don't know. It's just,
but
it's
he's kind of like Steve Buscemi, but a little better looking and
a little
better shape.
Hockey, yeah. He's a little bit. I don't really.
He's kind of the alpha Steve Buscemi.
He is, and I would rather just Steve Buscemi.
You want beta Steve Buscemi?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. So Eddie Murphy, Steve Buscemi. I'm sensing a pattern here.
Are you?
No, I'm kidding, of course, but.
I don't see the connection.
No, I'm kidding. Well, the connection. Well, Tom Jones is
he's amazing.
But I'll tell you,
he was black for the majority of my childhood.
Well, if you never saw him, I could see that.
No, I saw him.
But if you saw, I don't know. There's probably something there, but there's probably
he's Welsh.
But I mean, there's probably something twice removed because he's always got But it's funny when you see. I went down a YouTube rabbit hole. And he has like his old shows, and he's singing with Smokey Robinson and Temptations. He's like, dude, this guy's got soul.
Yeah, you don't want to see me at a concert there.
Oh, really? Your panties are on stage?
Yeah, they sure are.
So, but here's the common denominator between Eddie Murphy,
okay,
Steve Buscemi,
uh-huh,
and Tom Jones.
Okay.
Number one, they're all smart.
Yes.
Number two, they're all funny.
Yes.
Number three, they're all talented.
Yes. That's all I want in a man. Smart. And then I cultivate it, and I'll cook him whatever meal he wants and fuck him until he falls asleep. That's mm-hmm. all I want in life.
Smart, funny, talented.
Smart, funny, and talented. And what
so,
I want
so have you man. So have you dated comedians because they're smart, funny, and talented?
I have.
And disaster or no?
Didn't work out.
This is what I'm telling Nicole. Yeah.
Now, Mark has a rule. He doesn't want to date comedians.
I don't date comedians. And it's, and trust me, that's tempting because, I mean, it's hard now because every other woman is a comedian, but it's too narcissist, first off.
I guess. I
well,
mean,
you want to be on stage by yourself telling your story. Obviously, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying narcissist in a bad way. I'm saying you want the attention on you.
Yeah.
You want to be the star.
I guess what really went wrong in our relationship with me and the comedian was that I kind of took a back seat to my stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
And I started like promoting his stuff and doing mm-hmm. his website and doing his this and doing his stuff. And he got real big-headed about that, about right. where he was in life and didn't think he needed me anymore.
Oh, so you lifted him up to the point that he's like, I'm above you now, yeah. even though he would have never got there without you.
Right, and has since not been doing well.
Well, of course he's not, because it was you.
Well, just come home, baby.
Do you want him to come home?
Oh, God, yeah.
Really?
I do. I love that man.
Okay.
I would make him meatloaf the day he came back.
Wow.
Fix, roll him a joint.
Okay, all right. Eddie Murphy, come back.
I'm telling you, I'm such a demisexual, like, solid, like, loyal motherfucker. Like, okay. I can't help it.
Well, he's
I've tried.
He's a lucky man. It sounds like, as with every beautiful woman, he doesn't deserve you.
Oh, that's
You sweet. Go out with somebody that is, yeah, that's, every beautiful woman goes out with assholes, it just seems.
I try not to. I tried real hard.
Well, people say that. We talk about this on the show almost weekly. Nicole? Yeah. But they're nice at the beginning.
That's
yeah.
the problem. They're nice at the beginning. And they're also kind of, they have a swagger or something cool about them.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
But they wear a good mask in the beginning.
Right. But Anastasia, you've been a delight.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And tell us everything you got going on.
Oh, well, I have a couple of films coming out. Deadhead is making the like festival rounds. So is Inner Demons, which will be out in streaming. And if you have the Trauma app, you can watch, or Screamfest, you can watch Demon Juice, which I'm also in. There's other stuff. Follow me on social.
We're going to have you back because we want to hear about all the trauma stuff. And
yes!
We barely got to the horror stuff, but this has been great. Thank you so much.
If you'd like to check out my poetry, you can follow me on at Nicole6Books on Instagram or NicoleH6 on Facebook. And then the link is in the bio.
And I am Goth Comedian on all social media. Everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. We had such a great time. What energy in the room. Bye.